If we were to go upstream a few years from the circumstances that we find here in this passage, you would discover that young King David was one who received horrendous treatment at the hands of King Saul. Saul was a man who had become very jealous of David, and as is often the case, when that jealousy was awakened in his heart, he hounded David the shepherd boy with that desire that he would take his life. Now Saul had a son called Jonathan, who seems to have been a different kind of man. He befriended David. And if you know anything of the history of this father and son, eventually Jonathan, along with his father, died in very tragic circumstances. David then was crowned king, and in time he became monarch of all the country. When he was reigning for a time, he was just approaching the pinnacle of his power. He was really coming into what was a golden era for him and his people. The blessing of God had been resting upon him. There's no mistake about that. His kingdom was secure. Things had been going well, and very easily, with a happy, contented people about him, King David could have become, well, he could have become smug, and he could have become self-centered. But it was at this very time in his life that he began to inquire after the family of Saul. Yes, Saul that hated him so much. We read the words there in the first couple of verses that he has been inquiring after Saul's house to see is there any that he can show kindness on. And his attention is drawn to Mephibosheth. This man, Mephibosheth, was David's friend, Jonathan's son. And as we look at the details of David and his dealing with Mephibosheth, as I mentioned earlier, we have a tremendous picture of how God has dealt with me and with how God will deal with every sinner in grace if they will come to him. Your heart tonight is deceitful. Remember that. The Bible says that our hearts are not only deceitful, but they are desperately wicked. And it's right tonight to say that every one of us in our sin, we would have been worse, and we would have been involved in worse things if we had not been restrained. There is what is known as God's common grace, that which very often shows his goodness to men, and very often that goodness is displayed in God restraining man's hand. Because man is capable of unspeakable things. But there is, of course, then, God's special or saving grace. And that is when the redemption that Jesus Christ purchased is savingly applied to the hearts of those who will come. John Newton was a reckless young man. He wanted to follow his father's footsteps. He succeeded in doing that and going to sea and living a life of debauchery and sin. And then he was caught in a shipwreck off the west coast of Ireland. And it was at that time he called upon God for mercy. And God saved him physically. And God saved his soul as well. And his words of testimony, as we all know, are, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. And we have before us a picture tonight of unmerited favor. The title of my message is "A Lost Inheritance Bestowed," or "The Bestowal of a Lost Inheritance." David and Mephibosheth. I want you to notice, first of all, how David sought Mephibosheth. How David sought Mephibosheth. When you look at this passage, it becomes very clear to us that Mephibosheth was a most unlikely candidate to be sought by a king. For when you look at verse 13 of this chapter, it tells us that he was lame in his feet. And that takes us back to 2 Samuel and chapter 4, where Mephibosheth's nurse she had been looking after him, and when she heard of Jonathan's death, his father's death, on Mount Gilboa, she fled and she fell, or she dropped him. And certainly whenever he fell, he was disabled by that fall. When you look there in chapter 9 and verse 4, you will see that this young man, Mephibosheth, he came from a place called Lodebar. And the name Lodebar means a place of no pasture. In other words, a place of poverty. And that's something of the background of this young man. He'd been disabled by a fall. He was in a place of no poverty. But when you think of the name Mephibosheth, it means shameful thing. So what a picture we have here building up of this man. One who was a most unlikely candidate to be sought by a king. It's right tonight to say that David could expect very little in return for any kindness he would show to Mephibosheth. And you know, men and women, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is still seeking after men and women. He's still seeking after men and women who are in bondage to sin and all of its enticements and all of its hurt and all of its consequences. Because men tonight in their sin find themselves in that state also because of a fall. People today may say, well, that was years ago. That was a long time ago when Adam fell in the garden. So that's nothing to do with me. Well, Paul, when he was writing to the church at Romans, would have had a very different view. For it says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, regarding sin entering through Adam, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that fall left man powerless. It left him powerless regarding his sin. And sin, men and women, we want to remind you tonight, has dominion in the hearts of the unconverted. It won't settle for anything other than prominence in your life. Such is the nature of sin. The Bible talks about us being without strength in our sin. And all the protesting, and all the struggling, and all the attempts at self-reformation are all futile if the root of the matter is not dealt with. It's always good if a person genuinely turns over a new leaf. But that doesn't deal with your sin. Because the root has to be dealt with. I well remember many years ago when myself and the brother next to me, we used to go to our grandas and we used to weed the rockery. And we used to like to get it done very quickly because whenever you had weeded the rockery, you got a hard-boiled egg and a piece of toast. But especially after that, you got a piece of Granny's homemade toffee. And that was worth it all. But we soon caught on how to weed the rockery quickly. You just went across the top of it like that, and you pulled the tops off all the weeds. It looked okay. But in a few days, the weeds were up again. Why was that? That was because the root was still there. You see, the root was not dealt with. And dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, whatever you may be in your community, and you may be very much in the eyes of men, if the sin problem is not dealt with, then you're in great danger tonight, because a holy God cannot look upon sin. I want you to remember that as we go through this meeting. Think of David seeking this man, Mephibosheth, one who was disabled by a fall and was able to offer very little, one who was from a place of poverty, one who was even known as a shameful thing. A very vivid picture of man in general. But think of the poverty here that we mentioned. The world offers much. It offers much. And you take all the places tonight where men and women run for entertainment to try to content themselves and to try to bring some degree of satisfaction to their hearts. You could write across them all. Lodebar. Place of no pasture. A place of no pasture. And as we meet here in this building tonight, there are young people who are out in places, dens of iniquity. And ultimately, many of us who were there eventually discovered, well, this is a place of no pasture. There's nothing here of any substance for me. There's nothing here that will be of any real benefit to me. And I know that kind of talk, well, it offends man's proud heart, but it's the truth nonetheless, backed up by God's word. Isaiah there, and I read it for you, it's in chapter 64. It says there in verse 6 of that chapter, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You see, by birth and by practice, man is corrupt and depraved. Our hearts are set on sin. Our wills are opposed to God and to His ways. And indeed, every one of us tonight, if we're not converted, can cry out like the leper, "Unclean, unclean." So David sought this man, Mephibosheth, we can say, in spite of his defects. But he also sought Mephibosheth in spite of his dark background. You see, Mephibosheth's granddad had relentlessly pursued David with murder in his heart. He did not have any good reason to seek to harm David in any way, but nonetheless, the Bible furnishes us with enough to have us know that he was a man with murder in his heart. And mankind in 2010 still deserves nothing from God. His background is still every bit as dark as ever it was. You know something? The Bible tells us that men love darkness. Sometimes that's hard to understand until we consider where we used to be. Men love their darkness. Remember hearing the story one time of a young man who attended, or some of his family attended a mission, and he came down and he tried to disturb the meetings and to make a nuisance of himself. And a very short time after that, that man's mother phoned up and said, "Would you come and visit him?" to the very man that had been preaching. He said, "Of course I will." He went to visit him in the prison cell. The young boy was marching up and down and back and forwards and didn't know what to do with himself. And he cried out to the preacher. He said, so and so, he named him, and he said, "I'm a murderer. I can't believe it, but I'm a murderer." Dear friend, sin will take you further than you want to go. You and I are from a very dark background, a background of sin. And men tonight in their darkness are unconcerned. The Bible says concerning men and women in their sin, "He that believeth not is condemned already." So if your sin is not dealt with tonight, you're condemned already. This young man, Mephibosheth, he had defects. We've mentioned them already. He was disabled by the fall. He was from a place of no pasture. He was a shameful thing. And David sought him anyway. Jesus seeks you tonight. He seeks you in spite of the fact that you're from a dark background. He seeks you in spite of the distance. You see, whenever David was seeking for Mephibosheth, we mentioned already he was from Lodibar. Lodibar was on the other side of the Jordan. And the River Jordan in the Bible is always associated with separation. And unconverted people tonight in Free Presbyterian pews are separated from God. The Bible has much to say about that. We're referred to as foreigners and strangers. And it's right tonight to say that people can be brought up in a Free Presbyterian home and can come along to church and sit in meetings like this, and yet they can be as far as it's possible to be away from the Lord. David sought Mephibosheth. Jesus Christ is seeking you. He's seeking you now, but there will come that time when he will seek you no more, when all your opportunities will be gone. Listen well to what the Lord says to your heart tonight. How David sought Mephibosheth, but I want you to notice secondly what David showed Mephibosheth. If you look there in verse 1 and verse 3 that we read together, he mentions there that he wants to show something of kindness to this man, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And in verse 3 again, kindness is mentioned. We say right away that this was unrequested kindness. There's absolutely nothing to indicate or suggest that Mephibosheth in any way tried to contact David. Maybe he knew about him. There's no doubt he knew about him. Maybe he had been unreliably informed. Told all this to King David. He's a very successful and a wealthy man. He'd have no time for the likes of you. Maybe he was unconvinced of David's kindness. Maybe he even lived in denial. But whatever the case might have been, it's true tonight to say that Mephibosheth was to receive unrequested kindness. King David took the initiative. And he sought after him in order that he might show him kindness. And so it is with the multitudes tonight. Speak to so many down the street and you'll not be long into the conversation when the cry of their heart is evident to you. We will not have this man to rule over us. No man who's a police officer, fairly high ranking one, talking to him an odd time, he was speaking to my brother more than he does to me. And I know that every time he looks upon me, he may not dislike me personally as a person, but he detests seeing me because he knows who I am. He knows what I do. And I remind him of the gospel. He's been to funerals in Free Presbyterian churches. He's heard the gospel before. And it's not stretching things tonight to say that he despises everything to do with the gospel. I wonder how you are tonight regarding the kindness of the Lord. God seeks you out tonight. You haven't come looking for him, but he's passing this way and he's looking for you. This was unrequested kindness. We can also say that it was unearned kindness. You see, this Mephibosheth, he had no merit, but he had to receive this kindness on the merit of another. If you look with me at verse 3, you'll see something that's quite interesting. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" What's that really referring to? Well, would you turn back, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 20? It's taking us back in time to something that shows us a passage. Chapter 20 of 1 Samuel shows us that Jonathan, and of course most people here tonight are aware of this anyway, Jonathan tried to act as mediator between Saul and David. And if you look there in verse, I think it's verse 27 to 34, you will see that. But what I want you to look at tonight is this. Look at verse 16. It says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Would you look at verse 15 then? "But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David." Now that happened when David was reaching that golden era in his reign. But Jonathan here is, and David are, they're having a covenant of you, if you like. And if you look there at verse 42, the final verse of the chapter. "And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and be between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." The kindness that is spoken of in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 3, the kindness of God, it is covenant kindness. Covenant kindness that David is referring to. And dear friend, tonight so it is with those whom God saves. You have no personal claim on God's salvation and neither have I. But Christ has been given a people from all eternity. He prays for them in John chapter 17 in his great high priestly prayer. And God in that covenant has covenanted to the Lord Jesus Christ a people. They are all who will come to him. Of course that covenant involves kindness. And as far as the sinner himself is concerned, not only is this kindness of the Lord in salvation unrequested kindness, it's unearned. Our unmerited kindness. You must have, if you will have the mercy of God tonight and be delivered from your sin and saved for all eternity, you will do so in the merit of Jesus Christ alone. Unfold of God. Someone once said many years ago, none of the ransomed ever knew. found the sheep that was lost. You and I cannot fully comprehend. That we might come to the Lord. In order that we might have salvation before. I trust tonight that you think of the Lord. That unrequested kindness. That unearned kindness. But I'm sure and I'm convinced of this, that the kindness that David was to show to Mephibosheth was unexpected kindness. What reason would he have had to expect it if his father perhaps did not tell him of the covenant between David and himself? He was lying in Lodibar, a place of poverty. Someone who seemed to be also at the end of himself. And yet this kindness comes to him. You have nothing to offer the Lord tonight. You have nothing to add to his salvation. You cannot earn it. I wonder, do you expect it? Well, the good news for you this evening is you can have it. You can have God's salvation. The Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What David showed Mephibosheth, he showed Mephibosheth great kindness. I want you to notice, thirdly, where David seated Mephibosheth. Look with me, please, at verse 7 of chapter 9, quickly. It says, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You might also look at verses 10 and 11. He refers continually to my table. What a position for a non-deserving man. Oh, when you look at the verses, it's very clear that this is an honored position. He received a position here that would be given to family members. There's no lack of supply now. He's treated like a prince. He's treated like one of the family. Doesn't the word tell us in John 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name? Referring to those who are adopted into the family and fold of God. And the repentant sinner is brought in. He can rightly sing, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. When men and women truly repent of their sin, you see, they become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And whatever doubts you may have now, remember this, that whatever your difficulties may be, you will never be spiritually empty again. Oh, you may grow cold, as some have done. You may backslide to a greater or a lesser degree, but as far as your spiritual need is concerned regarding salvation, that spiritual need will be met in Christ. You will have an honored position. Read the book of Ephesians about the riches and the high places that we receive in Jesus Christ. No more feeding upon the husks, but substance is found in the Savior alone. Where David seated Mephibosheth, he gave him an honored position, but he also gave him a happy position. He didn't have very much happiness up until now, but as he comes to David's table, he has comfort and supply. And all of his defects that we mentioned earlier on, the fact that he had been damaged by a fall and could not have fought in the army, could not have rendered very much by way of returning any kindness that was shown to him. The fact that he was from the place of no pasture, the fact that his name means shameful thing, all of those things seem to have been forgotten about. He was proof in picture here for us that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Christian, as far as your sins are concerned, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath the Lord removed them from you. Most of you will have heard of Billy Bray, who became a very well-known preacher. In his early days, he had given society nothing but pain and trouble, and was a very, very disturbed, it seemed, almost young man. But he came to the Lord, and when he was saved, he said of himself, he said, I am the son of the King. I am the son of a king. Doesn't it say here in this passage that
Mephibosheth would eat bread at the king's table continually. Continually. If you will close with God's offer of mercy tonight and be saved by His grace, then you will have an honored position. You will have a happy position. I have one more thing to say about David and Mephibosheth here. We noted first of all there how David saw them, then what David showed him, then where David seated him. But I want you to notice finally how David supplied Mephibosheth. And that brings us to the inheritance that had been lost. There was here a forfeited inheritance. You see, David granted him, and you can read the verses yourself. It says there in verse 7, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. David granted him his grandfather's estate. All that which had been forfeited was returned to him. And men, tonight, I want you to understand this, that men have lost absolutely everything in Adam. There's not a little spark of light in you that somehow or other needs to be fanned into a greater light, and then you eventually grow into a Christian. If you're not saved, you're as dark as night, and dead in trespasses and in sins. But you can find eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can enjoy the riches of His grace. You can say with the hymn writer, if you come to Him, He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing day dreams I had fancied He could be. Does that not appeal to you tonight? To receive that forfeited inheritance? We can also say here it was a free inheritance. Whenever David had said, I'll give you back the land of your grandfather, he never said, now you're going to pay it off in installments. There's no mention of a mortgage. There's no holding out of his hat and saying, right, Mephibosheth, it is time for you to put the down payment here. You see, when you're in the world and you're out of Jesus Christ, the world always makes you pay. And it always makes you pay very dearly for everything. And for every so-called pleasure that is found out there, we all know to our cost, so many of us here tonight know to our cost, you pay dearly for it. There's nothing for nothing. But if you come to Jesus Christ, you will find salvation full and free. Not cheap. Full and free at greatest cost. For it emptied heaven of its very best. God emptied heaven of His very best and sent His Son to give His life's blood a ransom for you and for me. It was a forfeited inheritance. It was a free inheritance. Look at verse 10. It was to be a flourishing inheritance. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land. The word till simply means to dress it or to keep it right. This would be a flourishing inheritance for Mephibosheth. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, everything that you've said so far regarding God's offer of salvation appeals to me, but my problem is one that you've probably heard of before, preacher, that I feel I couldn't keep it. Well, just as Mephibosheth himself would not have been able to till the land and look after it. If you come to God tonight, He will keep you. There's many here in this meeting can testify to that fact. And your inheritance can be a flourishing one. It also speaks here of a future inheritance toward the end of verse 10. It says, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread at my table continually. But look what it says just before that. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. That is provision for the future. And you know, when all was said and done, when David had sought him out, when David had agreed to seat him at the table, when David had showed him great kindness, when he had offered to supply him, at the end of the day, Mephibosheth had to personally accept the offer. That was his responsibility. And everything that I've said to you tonight points to salvation and shows us a picture of all that is found in God's Son, Jesus Christ. But you must accept that offer. You must accept that offer personally. I cannot force it upon you. I wonder what you're going to do with Jesus Christ tonight. Face your condition as it is. You're in a lost condition as desperate as can be, desperate to the last degree, and you may not realize it. You need the Savior far more than you could ever realize. But what if God were to leave you there? You see, if David were to simply say, Mephibosheth, I've changed my mind. Stay in Lodibar. Stay in the place of poverty. Stay in the place of no pasture. Then he would have had nothing. What if God were to say to you tonight, listen, Free Presbyterian person, you have attended the church on many occasions. What if I were to pass you by tonight? Come tonight or don't come at all. I trust tonight that what we've said will encourage you to come to Christ, to receive him as he's freely offered in the gospel, to close with God's great offer of mercy. Avail yourself of the opportunity. Here and there across the province, we're hearing of men and women doing just that. They're coming to the Savior. But there are so many people who sit through gospel meetings. And the greatest, I suppose, thought in most of their minds is this: there will be at least one other opportunity. I leave you with these words that the Bible tells us: boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's Monday morning. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and meet your need tonight.